Feel like I'm in Indiana, you know, Gary, Indiana. Anyway, I'm just very honored to be here. I'm Dr. Ray Self, and originally from Memphis, Tennessee. Lived most of my life in Memphis, Tennessee, and pastored three different churches in that area. Also in North Mississippi, which is Memphis sits right on the border of Tennessee and Mississippi. So you'll still hear my little accent come out once in a while, you know. I've been in Orlando, Florida now for almost 10 years. Part of Freedom Fellowship Church down there, and I'm president of International College of Ministry. We're a fully accredited online seminary, and some of the, we have several students here, including your pastor, and very, very blessed to be a part of that. And as a matter of fact, if you've ever considered getting a college degree that really matters, which is about the kingdom of God, then, you know, please see us. The brochures are on the back. It's very simple. We're very inexpensive. You can complete your degree normally inside of a year. And why not get equipped for the kingdom of God? Why not put a college degree on your resume? Why not have a little more credibility? I'm all about equipping people to, for the work of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you want to go deeper with the Lord, you want to answer your call, you want to go into counseling or ministry or missions or pastor, or you just want to learn more about God, or you want to know what your call is, that's what we do. Amen. So, happy about that. Just a really quick, my little infomercial here. A couple of things on the back table. I wrote a book a few years ago called Redeeming Your Past and Finding Your Promised Land. And I'm very, very passionate about this. I honestly believe with all my heart that you'll never be happy, you'll never be satisfied, you'll never be content till you start doing the thing you're created to do in the place you're created to do it. And I lived a life that I was a corporate guy. As a matter of fact, I owned six different companies. And was fairly successful, and you know, I really kept thinking if I made a little more money, had a little bit better car, had a little bit bigger boat, had a little bigger house, that I, eventually I would find that peace and satisfaction, and I never could. There was something was wrong. I didn't know what it was, so I strove and I strived and I tried to make more, and I did some pretty amazing things. I mean, I was very, very blessed. I actually set up an inventory control system for Graceland, for Elvis Presley's. I did own a computer software firm, worked in the appliance business for a long time, TV and appliance business, owned my own store, all this kind of stuff. You know, one time I had so many credit cards, you could deal cards with my credit cards. But all this came tumbling down at one time. God actually stripped me of all that because it wasn't what I was created to do. I never could find peace until I finally answered the call of God in my life. What God had called me to do was not sell material things, but sell the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Until I found that place doing what I was called to do, I couldn't do it. I couldn't find peace. But the problem is a lot of people haven't really gotten over some of their stuff. We all have stuff. We all have issues. And sometimes these issues, we say, well, I'm redeemed. I'm not living in the past. But you got stuff in your past that's keeping you from your future. And so this is all about how to get over your stuff and get into what God's called you to do. It's on the back table. It's $10 if you have it. If you don't have it, just see me. Pastor will pay for it. No, just see me. Special today, $9.95. We don't give change. But anyway, it's on the back. Another really quick thing too, and sometimes this stuff is awkward for me, but, I'm gonna do it anyway. We, as at ICM, our college, we give away thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars in free education to inmates, to a group of pastors in India, a group of pastors in Trujillo, Peru. Also, we have all kinds of ministers all over the United States who cannot afford a college degree, and we give them scholarships. If somebody has a financial hardship, we say, come on, we'll help you. But we really don't have money to do this. We just do it anyway. But a friend I met, I'm a golfer. I love to play golf. It's a very holy game. Holy, holy, I'll get it. Okay. We're getting the swing of things here. Okay. Okay. Anyway, I was on the golf course a few months ago, and I met this guy, most fascinating guy I've ever met in my life. A really interesting guy. His name is Jay Golden. And he gave me his card, and I actually looked him up online. I Googled him, and Golf Digest magazine has a whole 3 or 4 page article about this guy. Turns out this guy was the United States long drive champion. He's a former PGA champion, won the Westchester Classic. Used to be Arnold Palmer's golf coach. But he's also a stand-up comedian, worked with Jerry Seinfeld. He's also a poet. He's a playwright. And he's a very famous artist. He's been painting. He studied in the Brooklyn Museum of Art, and he learned how to copy the masters. And so he copies Monet, Renoir, and Van Gogh. Matter of fact, he does a one-man act where he pretends he's Vincent Van Gogh, and as he's telling the story of Vincent Van Gogh, he actually paints Starry, Starry Night. But he does these paintings, and he said, I want to give you one of my paintings, and I'm going to give you prints of the paintings that you can sell to finance your scholarship fund. So he donated these prints to our ministry. We call this A Savior is Born. And this would be if Vincent Van Gogh was a Christian and had painted the wise man, this is what it would look like. So anyway, we have these prints back there. They're $20 and goes to a scholarship fund. So that's my infomercial for the day. You know, hallelujah. Again, if you don't have $20, $19.95, we don't give change. Okay, so I thought that was funny. My wife would be going, cut, cut, you know. So anyway, Lord, thank you for today. I praise you, Father. We just love you, Lord. We just have your way. Just honored. You know, I do, we laugh and I cut up a little bit, but I'm very serious about the Lord. I really am. I just happen to think the church is kind of funny. I mean, and I think God has a sense of humor. I mean, come on, look at yourself, okay? God's got a sense of humor. He chose us, okay? I mean, you look at the neighbor and go, God actually chose you. Holy cow, you know? So the other day, I couldn't help it, but I just saw this thing about church bulletin bloopers. These are actual things that were in church bulletins. Have you seen some of these stuff? It's amazing. Like the sermon this morning is Jesus Walks on the Water. The sermon tonight, Searching for Jesus. The Scouts are saving aluminum cans, bottles, and other items to be recycled. Proceeds will be used to cripple children. I love this one. Oh, there's a fasting and prayer conference this weekend, which includes meals. The ladies of the church have cast off clothing of every kind. They may be seen in the basement on Friday afternoon. The pastor would appreciate it if the ladies of the congregation would lend him their electric girdles for the pancake breakfast this Sunday. I like this one. The low self-esteem support group will meet Thursday at 7 p.m. Please use the back door. Weight Watchers will meet at 7 p.m. at First Presbyterian Church. Please use the large double door at the side entrance. I mean, these are actually in church bulletins. It's just absolutely amazing. Okay, I'll quit after this one. At the evening service tonight, the sermon topic will be, What is Hell? Come early, listen to our choir practice. Potluck supper, Sunday at 5 p.m., prayer and medication to follow. Anyway, so, I had to get that out. Okay, I'll behave now. I'm sorry, Pastor. I actually do preach the word sometimes. So, anyway, today is, you got my little PowerPoint. Today is actually Palm Sunday. And I was decided to get into this and kind of see maybe what God was trying to say about Palm Sunday. Now, I'm not a real traditional guy, and we know that actually the Easter and the resurrection and the death, it probably didn't happen this time of year. We're not quite sure. And, you know, Jesus wasn't born December 25th. I think he was actually born in September. But these are the times that we celebrate. So I want to talk a little bit about Palm Sunday. And actually what I see in Palm Sunday is it's really all about vision. It's all about vision. And so the title of the sermon is, Can You See? Okay, it's not our national anthem, Jose, Can You See? You know, I had a friend named Jose. They had a national anthem about him. But it's about, Can You See? Okay, so let's, Zechariah 9:9, if you go to that slide, there's a prophecy that says this. And the people of Israel, at this time, they understood this prophetic word. Now, what's getting ready to happen, if you know a little bit about your Bible, is Jesus is getting ready to make what's called his triumphant entry into Jerusalem before Passover, okay, and before, obviously, the crucifixion. So Zechariah 9:9 says, Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and endowed with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Now, isn't that interesting? Zechariah knew or prophesied that the king, Jesus, would come to Jerusalem on a donkey. I mean, you know, when you study the prophecies of the Old Testament, it absolutely is irrefutable evidence for Jesus Christ being Savior. What's the old study they did? The odds of one man fulfilling all the prophecies that Jesus fulfilled would be similar if the state of Texas were covered in quarters this deep, the entire state of Texas, and there was one quarter that was maybe colored a different color, and you were actually to go to the state of Texas and reach down and find that one quarter. I mean, the odds are astronomical that he could have ever fulfilled all these prophecies, but he did. An absolute, undeniable proof. Do you know you can prove Jesus is the Savior of the world scientifically? You can. I mean, I believe it by faith, but it actually can be proved scientifically. As a matter of fact, to me, atheists, no offense to them, are actually, they're kind of stupid. They haven't even looked at the facts. Amen? There's more evidence that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. More evidence, more historic evidence that Jesus Christ rose from the dead than there is evidence that Julius Caesar ever even existed. And we're all taught about Julius Caesar in college, I mean, in high school and elementary school. We all know about Julius Caesar. We don't doubt his existence. There's more evidence for the resurrection of Christ than there is evidence for Julius Caesar, which I always thought was a very interesting fact. So we have this prophecy that he's going to come back and he's going to be riding on a donkey. Okay, so we go to Luke 19, verses 29 through 31, and here is the story. Let's get into what was actually happening. And he's talking about Jesus. It says, when he approached Bethpage and Bethany near the mount, which is called Olivet, he sent two of his disciples saying, go into the village ahead of you. There as you enter, you will find a colt tied on, which no one has yet ever set. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? You shall say, the Lord has need of it. Okay? So we move on to Luke 19, 32 through 34. And it says, so those who were sent away went and found it just as he told them. And as they were untying the colt, the owner said to him, why are you untying my colt? In other words, what are you doing with my donkey? And he said, the Lord has need of it. And amazingly enough, this guy says, okay, take it. Isn't that amazing? I mean, Jesus said, if you say these words, this guy will give you this donkey. To me, that's absolutely amazing. It also tells me that when God speaks a word, it cannot return void. And God said, if you say these words to this owner of this donkey, and you say the Lord has need of it, he will give it to you. And I think there's a lesson there. This is why the prophetic thing is so important. If we say the word of God, you know, the word of God cannot return void. If you speak to this mountain, it shall be moved. Here's the key thing about prophecy. You know, there's this word of faith movement for years that we need to speak these things into existence. We need to claim our healing. We need to speak this and speak that. And if we speak it and believe it, it's going to happen. What I believe actually, what we're seeing in Scripture is, if we speak the word God tells us to speak, it's going to happen. Amen? It's not any word. I claim that Cadillac in the name of Jesus Christ. But if the Lord gave me a prophecy that said that Cadillac is mine, I will say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I claim that Cadillac and it will be mine. Because God told me I was going to have it. And that's a little different take. Some years ago, and I don't prophesy stuff like this, but actually I was prophesying to a woman in my church, and I said, I see a white SUV. You have need of a vehicle? The Lord's going to give you a white SUV. And I just don't normally do that kind of prophecy, you know, stuff, you know, the super prosperity stuff. I believe prosperity is peace and contentment in your heart, okay? Money's good, but prosperity is really peace and contentment in your heart. Because in my life, I had a lot of money at one time, and I was miserable. I was absolutely miserable, and I kept thinking things that make me happy. But I told her this, and she believed what I said, and next Sunday she pulls up with a brand new white SUV. But it was because we're speaking what God tells us to speak. Then things happen. Well, God said, if you tell this guy the Lord has need of this donkey, he will give you that donkey. They obeyed the prophetic word of God. They spoke what God told them to speak, and lo and behold, it happened. And I think that's a lesson for us. Okay? Speak what God tells you to speak. Do what God tells you to do. Amen. So, I'm going to switch over to the book of Matthew. Matthew 21, 6 through 8. The disciples went and did just as Jesus had instructed them. And they brought the donkey and the colt and laid their coats on them. And they sat on the coats. And he sat on the coats. So they brought the donkey. Instead of having a saddle, they just put their coats or their robes to make a saddle for Jesus to sit. Most of the crowd spread their coats on the road, and others were cutting branches from trees. Here's where you get Palm Sunday. They're cutting palm branches and spreading them in the road. Well, what Israel was thinking was that a king was coming to deliver them. A king was coming, because actually in their past, I don't know if it was Samuel or Saul, but there was another king they did the same thing to who came to rescue Israel. So in their mind, there's a king coming to save them from the Romans. He's going to overthrow the Roman government. Here comes the king. And so prophetically, because they had this scripture from Zechariah that their king was going to come riding on a donkey, they knew the prophecy that their king was going to come riding on a donkey. And so they said, hey, he can walk right over my coat. We'll lay these palm branches down. We'll prepare the way for the coming of the King of Kings, a conquering king, a mighty king, a king will overthrow the government, who's going to restore the nation of Israel, a king who's going to set us free from this horrible Roman oppression. But they couldn't see. They absolutely missed it. They missed it completely because, according to the Word of God, they were blind. And it really grieved Jesus. So we go on back to Luke, okay? Luke 19, 37 through 38, talking about Jesus. As soon as he was approaching near the descent of Mount Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles which they had seen, shouting, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Also, Psalms 118, 26 talked about this too. So they had prophecies that the king was going to come riding on a donkey. And so they were going, actually, this blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. They were quoting the Psalms. So they were getting ready to have another David come. Okay? They were looking for like another King David who was going to set them free, a mighty warrior. And they were shouting the prophecies because they knew that they thought they understood the prophecies. And they thought they understood that Jesus was fulfilling this prophecy the way they thought it should be fulfilled. It's interesting, in the prophetic realm, people will interpret prophecies according to what they think it means, what they think it should mean. And it's amazing how people misconstrue the Word of God because they interpret it with their own personal desire. Does that make sense? In other words, you hear sometimes what you want to hear, and you interpret what you actually desire instead of what God is actually saying. So they're interpreting these prophecies according to what they thought the prophecy should mean instead of what the prophecy actually meant. And the reason they did that was they were spiritually blind. And this very much grieved God. And this has a lot to do with us today. Now, I'm a type guy, when I preach, I do the so what principle. So what does this have to do with Streams of Life Church? What does this have to do with Williamstown, New Jersey? What's this have to do with you? I'm going to show you today exactly how this will affect your life. Okay, so hang with me. So let's go to Luke 19, and I'm going to go back and read this Luke 19, chapter 19, and we'll actually start a few verses ahead of what the slide is. In Luke 19, starting at, we'll just start at verse 41, and then we'll go to 42. When he, Jesus, approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and he wept over it. Now here's his triumphant entry. It's Palm Sunday. He's coming into Jerusalem, and all these people are shouting, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Here, step on my coat. Here, let me put branches down for you. Praise Jesus. Here he comes, the King. And what is Jesus doing? He's crying. He's upset. why is he upset? And he said, if you had known this day, even you, the things which make for peace, but now they have been hidden from your eyes. And then goes on to verse 40. Let me read this to you. Verse 43 and 44. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will throw up a barricade against you, surround you, hem you in on every side, and they will level you to the ground and your children within you, and they will not leave you in one stone. They will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not recognize the time of your visitation, because they were unable to see the reason Jesus had came. The enemy was going to destroy them. If we do not see Jesus Christ and the reason for Jesus Christ, the Satan will have victory over us. And the devil, he said, the devil is going to have victory over you because you're blind. You don't even know why I'm here. You don't understand what I'm trying to do. You don't get it. And because you don't get it, I'm sorry to tell you, the enemy's going to get you. You understand? But you see, our eyes have been opened, right? We get it. We know why Jesus came. Hopefully. This is important. Guys, I'm a passionate guy. This is not just a preachy sermon. This can change your life. This may even be the difference between life and death for your family. This can be everything for you. We have to know why Jesus came. We have to be able to see the truth about Christ. And the world out there is blind. Why do they do the things they do? Because they cannot see. But you have the Spirit of God in you, and surely your eyes are open and you can see the truth. How can a person kill an unborn child in the womb and say, well, that's my right to do that? Good people. Good people. Because they're blind. They don't see. Blindness causes all kinds of evil. Blindness enables evil. Blindness enables Satan to do what he wants to do. We've had blind leaders. We've had blind people all over the world that cannot see. I want to tell you something. The greatest prayer we can do is the prayer that Paul prayed. Pray that eyes can be opened so people can see the truth. Okay? Jesus said, if you had known in this day the things which make for peace, but now they've been hidden from your eyes. Romans 11:8 says this. Just as it was written, God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes to see not, and ears to hear not, down to this very day. Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You see, the things of God, the only way we can know what is of God is by being able to see in the Spirit. I was taught, and I think rightfully so, that a Christian who has the Holy Spirit has two sets of eyes. I see in the natural, and I also can see in the spiritual, okay? And my spiritual eyes allows me to understand Jesus Christ. My spiritual eyes allows me to understand the authority of Jesus Christ, the sovereignty of Jesus Christ, the reason for Jesus Christ. My spiritual eyes allows me to understand salvation and redemption and justification. My spiritual eyes allows me to understand the fact that I've been given authority over snakes and scorpions and all the works of the enemy. My spiritual eyes allows me to have power of the Holy Spirit, and to be a head and not the tail, above and not beneath, because I know something, because I've seen it, I discern it, it's in me. Lord, open up our eyes. And let's pray for the eyes of our world to be open, because we live in a blind world. A blind world. A blind world. Who in their right mind could say it's okay for a man to go in the woman's bathroom? Because he thinks he may be a woman. You have to be blind. Or an absolute fool. And if you say this, if I say this publicly, according to the blind world, I'm a bigot, a racist, and I need therapy. Or I'm a hater. Because I don't agree with men going to the women's bathroom. They're blind. how can they not see this? And it's insane. It's insane. So in Acts 26:18, Jesus gave Paul a mission. Paul, the Apostle Paul, who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. Think about this. What was Paul's mission? To open their eyes so they may turn from darkness to light, from the dominion of Satan to God, so they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. By faith in me. The Lord said, Paul, I want you to open up people's eyes. Paul, I want you to open the eyes. Now, that also tells me that God has given us an anointing also to open up eyes. You know what I'm saying? God has given us an anointing to open up eyes. Unless their eyes are open, you can tell them till the cows come home. That's a Mississippi statement, y'all. You can tell them how the cows ate the cabbage, another Mississippi thing. Okay? Okay. Might be a redneck. Don't get me started on my redneck jokes, okay, because they kind of hit home with me. All right. But unless their eyes are open, they have no chance. You can tell them all about Jesus. Haven't you ever noticed how you explain the gospel, and it's so easy, it's so simple, that a child can get it, and many children do get it, but you try to explain it to an adult, and he looks at you like, huh? They absolutely cannot hear you. When eyes are open, look at the scripture very carefully. When your eyes are opened, a person can turn from darkness to light. When the eyes are opened, a person can come out of the dominion of Satan to the kingdom of God. When eyes are opened, people can have forgiveness of sins. When eyes are opened, people get an inheritance of God. When eyes are opened, people get sanctified. God opened their eyes. And you know what? We have a mission to open up eyes. We really do. To open up eyes. Jesus on Palm Sunday came and was crying and weeping because the people were blind. They were celebrating him. They were doing all the right things, but they couldn't even see it. We have traditional churches, God bless them, that are wonderful people, but they're doing through their traditions because they're completely blind. They don't understand the reality of God, the reality of the Holy Spirit, that God is alive, he's personal, he wants to talk to us. They believe that you please God by following certain rules and regulations and traditions, then you have this relationship. There is no relationship, it's blindness. God, open up our eyes. It's so simple. God loves us. He wants a relationship with us. He wants us to be part of his kingdom. He wants us to have an inheritance. He wants us to be saved. He wants us to have the anointing. He wants to be up close. He wants to be our friend. And he sent Jesus to make a way. And he's alive and he talks to us. He's talking now. He's talking. I mean, he's speaking to us now. He's here in the room with us. He's alive. He's talking to us. He's talking to us like he's telling you, you have three new songs that you're working on. He wants you to finish the songs because there's prophetic messages in your songs that need to be sung to the church. And finish the songs you're writing. You have a great ability to write prophetic songs. And you're not just a worshiper. You're also prophetic in your songs. And the Lord wants to get message in songs out to this church even more than what you're doing. And he's calling you to do this. And I see at least three songs that you've been working on that are new, and they're prophetic, and they're messages from God, and you're going to sing the song of the Lord. The song of the Lord is when God sings to us. Sometimes we sing to God, and sometimes God sings back to us with a prophetic message, and you have an anointing to do that. God is speaking to us. I told the class yesterday, I get prophetic burps. Sometimes prophecy sort of pops out. You know, it's like, you know how you burp when you're not expecting to burp? Sometimes I prophesy when I'm not expecting to prophesy. So, and God just, he forgives me. But anyway, so it can be in the middle of anywhere. All right? Amen. You okay with that? Okay, thank you. All right, thank you, Lord. I wouldn't call it a prophetic verb. Call it a prophetic word. It really sounds much more spiritual. Okay? Okay, just bring it. Okay, just bring it. Amen. So let's go to Ephesians 1, 18 through 19. Here's Paul again. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. I pray that your eyes may be enlightened, open. Why? So you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So you will know what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places. So Paul said, I pray that to the Ephesians, I pray that your eyes be open so you can see these incredible things God wants to show you. And God wants our eyes to be completely open. I think some of us see partially. Some of us need some better spiritual glasses. You know what I mean? Some of us need spiritual contacts. I mean, I'm just being real here. Some of us have been seeing, but it's kind of foggy. You know, we're kind of seeing what God's trying to show us, but not quite. I prayed, what did God want to do today? And I believe that God is going to open up our eyes to a new level today. I believe God wants to open up the eyes of this church. Not that this church is blind. This church is not a blind church. But there's more he wants us to see. Amen. There's more he wants us to see. There's so much more he wants us to see. I believe we're seeing the tip of the iceberg. And God wants to show you what's beneath the surface. Okay? Or another way to look at it, God wants to elevate us up to a higher level so we can see more. And I believe God's going to open up eyes today. And I think the vision and the eyes of God is critical not only for your family, but also for this church and for this community. The church is going to reach this community for Christ, but we need to have eyes to see God's plan. We need to have eyes to see God's purpose. We need eyes to see what God has. We need eyes to see his inheritance, eyes to see his hope, eyes to see his greatness, eyes to see his power, eyes to see the working of his strength, eyes to see everything that Christ gave to us when he was raised from the dead, and what Christ gave to us when he was seated at God's right hand in heavenly places. Can you see, according to Ephesians, that even when you were dead and your transgressions, can you see that you've been raised up and you are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus? I want to tell you something. That's hard for me to see. I read that and I go, are you telling me that my position, I'm in heaven, seated next to Christ? Can you see that? You know, I'll be honest with you, I can see it, but it's kind of difficult to imagine. But when your eyes are fully open, you can see it clearly. And when our eyes are open to what God is trying to say, what God is trying to do, what God is trying to show us, holy cow, the supernatural is going to happen. Man, you talk about strategy. You talk about plans. You talk about victory. You talk about power. You talk about salvation. You talk about evangelism. It comes through open eyes. And when Palm Sunday, here comes Jesus to offer salvation to Jerusalem. Here comes Jesus on a mission that's been prophesied for centuries. The mission of Christ was prophesied for centuries. And Jesus goes, oh man, they cannot see. They cannot see. And because they cannot see, this is what the devil's going to do to them. And he wept and he cried, oh Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem. Oh, they're so blind. They can't see. And the consequences of not being able to see is terrible. And here's supposed to be a great, incredible, triumphant entry into Jerusalem with the palm branches laid down. And Jesus is crying because of people are blind. Jesus is concerned about vision. He is concerned about vision. He is concerned about what we can see and what we cannot see. Amen. And I think there's so much more. There's such a bigger picture. His ways and our ways, his thoughts and our thoughts. There's so much more that he wants to show us. Here's some questions I had that Jesus wants us to see. Can you see? Every time I see can you see, I keep thinking of the national anthem. I got to get away from that. Oh, say, can you see? Okay, I just got to get that thought out of my mind, all right? All right, but can we see with spiritual eyes? Can you see how to turn from darkness? Now, an unsaved person can't see this, but we can pray for the Spirit of God to come upon them and open up their eyes so they can see the truth on how to turn from darkness. This is what Scripture says, open eyes can see. When your eyes are open, you should know how to turn from darkness, okay? Because you see how to do it, Okay? Can you see how to leave the dominion of Satan and enter into the dominion of God? You know, can you see that? Well, the only reason you can see that is because God's opened up your eyes. God has opened up your eyes. And this is why people in the world cannot see it. And I'm astounded that people can't see it. The gospel is so easy, so simple, so obvious that I know that Satan has blinded the world. And the answer to salvation and evangelism and growth is the Lord's got to open up their eyes. Pray for God to open up their eyes so they can see. I'm amazed at blindness. I'm amazed at ignorance. You know, blindness creates ignorance. And the Lord says in Hosea, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. They perish because they can't see the truth. Can you see how to receive forgiveness of sins? Isn't that amazing? You know, I want to say something on this. I'm a Christian counselor. I've been a counselor for years. And what's really amazing about Christian counseling, I'll say this to the counselors in the room, a secular counselor has no answer for guilt and shame. Now, I'm not criticizing secular counselors, but the only answer for guilt and shame is forgiveness of sins and the cleansing of the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus takes away guilt and shame, right? Well, in counseling, a secular counselor without Jesus Christ cannot help someone get forgiven and cannot remove their sin and remove their guilt, remove their shame. All they can do is explain it. But a Christian counselor, because we understand how sin is forgiven, can lead someone to forgiveness, and we can get rid of guilt and shame and condemnation because we understand the blood of Jesus Christ. So it's an incredible advantage that Christian counselors have. It's just an amazing advantage that we have. I just want to throw that in. But it's also, you know, we know. I was teaching a class a couple of years ago, and I said, you know, why would you want to ever carry around all this guilt and shame and condemnation? Would you not want to get rid of all this stuff you've been carrying all these years? Why would you want that when Jesus says, I can remove your guilt, I can remove your condemnation, I can get rid of all this stuff, I can take it all away from you and set you free. Why do you want to carry this stuff? And I was just teaching a class, and all of a sudden a guy in the back steps up and goes, I want to be saved, man. Dude, I want to be saved. I mean, it was great. I wasn't trying to get somebody saved, but when I said, you can get rid of your guilt, he goes, oh, wow, I want that. Hey, man, he wasn't very religious. Man, can I have that? Well, sure, come on up. Do you know how to receive your inheritance from God? You ever thought about this, that we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ? So let's look at it practically. God wrote a will, and he puts you in it. You know, when a parent writes a will, he gives all his children normally equal inheritance, joint heirs, okay? You know, your children are joint heirs. My children are joint heirs. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Can you see that? Is that cool? Is that awesome? Wow. My daddy's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Who's your daddy? Can you see that? You know how to be sanctified, set apart by faith? Only if your eyes are open can you see this. And what Paul said, do you know the surpassing greatness of his power? Do we know how much power there is? You know, there's churches that have a form of godliness denying the power thereof. You see, I believe God's called churches to be supernatural, powerful places where people are healed, delivered, set free, captives are set free. The Spirit of God's appointed us to set at liberty those that are captive to heal the brokenhearted. Church to be where demons flee, cancer is healed, I mean, eyes are restored. This is what church is, amen? It's supernatural, but you got to be able to see the power of God. You got to have open up eyes to see the truth. It takes the Spirit of God to do that. Lord, open up our eyes even more. I want to see more. Do you want to see more? This is all what Palm Sunday was about. I tell you what, Palm Sunday, Jesus coming back, was all about blindness and lack of sight, and Jesus weeping because he wanted the people to see. Because they didn't see, he was upset. But now, he died, he rose from the dead, he gave us everything we need to be able to see the truth that will set you free. Last scripture, Matthew 13:15-16. This is a prophecy. For the heart of his people have become dull, their eyes they scarcely hear. They have closed their eyes, otherwise they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I would heal them. Notice this. God is saying, if their eyes could be open, I would heal them. If their eyes were open, I would heal them. But their eyes are not open. I can't heal them because they don't see anything. Here's the cool part. I like this one. This is for you. That last line is for you. And I proclaim this in the name of Jesus Christ. But blessed are your eyes. Blessed are your eyes. Blessed are the eyes of Streams of Life Church. Blessed are your eyes because they see. And blessed are your ears because you hear. Jesus said, you are blessed because you see. And that's what Palm Sunday was about. So if you'd been there 2,000 years ago, Jesus would not have wept over you. He would have smiled at you. He said, oh, she sees. He sees. Yeah. Giddy up, donkey. Maybe not exactly like that, but you know. That's what Palm Sunday's about. And I believe there's so much more. Yeah, we all see. I think if you're saved, you see. If you're not saved and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord publicly, you need to come do that today. Okay? Because if you're not saved and you don't know that you're saved, everything I've said doesn't work for you. You're still blind. But today you can receive Christ and the Holy Spirit and have your eyes open. And that's always, and I know, Pastor, you're okay with that's always the first and foremost call of every church. And it should be. Amen. It is salvation. I want to see more. You know, I mean, I see the truth, but I know I don't see enough. We don't see enough. We need to see more. I want to see this inheritance for my family. I want to see God's power toward me and God's power toward my family and God's power for the church. I want to see what Paul prayed. I want to see everything that Paul prayed for in Ephesians. I want to see this hope. I want to see the riches of his inheritance. I want to see the greatness of his power. I want to see this. Lord, open up our eyes so we can see more. Lord, open up our eyes. And you know what, God? I've got family members that I don't believe are saved. Lord, open up their eyes. Open up the eyes of the unbelieving world. Open up the eyes of Williamstown, New Jersey. Open up the eyes of Orlando, Florida. Open up the eyes of Donald Trump. Open up the eyes of Hillary Clinton. Open up the eyes of our leaders. Open them, Lord. Lord, you can do it. You can open up eyes, God. There's nothing you cannot do, God. Open our eyes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm not, you know, preaching long today. I know prophetically there's more. I know prophetically God has said that the first half of this year was going to be transition for the body of Christ. He said it would be transition for our nation. The nation's going through major transition. Churches are going through transition. You're going through transition. I'm going through transition. Or transmission. Was it transmission or transition? We kind of debated that last night. We got to shift gears, get back to transition. You know, anybody here feel like you're in the middle of a transition? Yeah. Isn't that interesting? I will tell you something. God said he's in the transition. He's in the change. I will tell you something else about transition, which is really interesting. In the midst of transition, God will download to you probably more than he ever has the rest of your life. Think about this. When Israel was transitioning from Egypt to the Promised Land, God gave them the entire law of Moses, all the law, how to worship, how to serve, all the requirements of God were given to the Israelites in the desert. So when they got to the Promised Land, they were ready. So in this season of transition, this is a prophetic word for the church, have your eyes open because God's doing something in your life. God's doing something in his church. God is downloading something you need right now in this transition, because when the transition is over, and I believe it's going to be over in June, that's just what I believe I heard the Lord say, when this transition is over, you're going to be ready for what He has for you. You'll be ready for that place He's taken you to. And you have to have faith when you get to that place, okay, that God has called you to, that you'll be able to conquer it. Now, when you come to a promised land, and I believe this church is coming to a spiritual promised land, there's several things you have to do. When you get to this place, the first thing you have to do is you're going to have to fight and drive out the enemy. Okay? But He said it was my promised land. He'll give it to you, but you're going to have to fight and drive out the enemy. So don't be surprised that this summer there's a battle. I'm just saying this prophetically. You'll have to fight and drive out the enemy. But if you fight, you'll win. That's what He tried to tell the Israelites. You know, 10 of the 12 didn't believe Him. Okay? If you fight, you will win. The second thing you have to do is you have to settle and plant yourself in this place. Okay? And if you will get to your promised land and settle and plant, that means establish roots. After you're done with the transition, you need to establish your, you need to get settled in what God has done. Get settled into the new vision of Streams of Life Church. Get settled into this new thing. Just settle down. This is who we are. This is what we're doing. I'm a column. I'm planted. I'm here. Then you'll prosper. Okay? But you can't miss the steps. One, find your promised land. Two, conquer your promised land. Three, settle down. And some people won't settle. They won't settle down. They won't plant roots. You know, I'm a gardener. I love to garden. I've noticed one thing about plants. If you keep moving them around, they die. You can transplant them maybe one time. It's okay. But if you keep transplanting that bush, eventually it says, that's enough. I'm out of here. I'm checking out. So the bottom line for today, though, is the Lord wants to open up eyes. And if you're willing, I want to pray over you. And I just want to pray that God, what Paul prayed. Matter of fact, we'll pray this prayer that Paul prayed, and we'll see what the Lord wants to say. Because I just feel that this is for today. And I want to pray Ephesians 1, 18 through 19 over you. And I do believe in my spirit that you can say, well, I get God. I know what Jesus is. Guys, we haven't scratched the surface with Jesus Christ. There's so much more that we can't even imagine. Amen? But God's going to show us more today. Amen? Are you ready to see more for your family, husbands? You ready to see more for your family, wives, mothers? How about young people, single? You ready to see your purpose, your call? Are you ready to see God's plans? Don't we want to see it? Or are you scared of it? Amen? So let's do this prayer. And would you stand for this prayer? Would this be okay? Thank you. Lord, I pray that the eyes of the hearts of everyone in this room will be enlightened. I pray, Father, everyone in this room will know the hope of your calling. I pray, Father, everyone in this room, their eyes will be open and they will know what the riches and the glory of your inheritance is for them. I pray, Father, and believe, Father, that each one in this room, the eyes will be open and they will see your surpassing greatness and your power toward us. Your power, your great power toward us, Father. Your power toward us, Father. Your power toward us, Father. Because we believe, Father. Father, this is in accordance with the working of the strength of your might that you gave us through Jesus Christ when you rose him from the dead and you seated him at your right hand in heavenly places. Lord Jesus, open our eyes now. Open our eyes now. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I proclaim over this church and everyone that can hear my voice, your eyes be open. Eyes be open. Every scale fall. every blind spot be taken away. There's people here that have blind spots you can see, but there's things you're afraid to look at. There's no fear in Christ Jesus. Perfect love casts out fear. Lord, we rebuke the spirit of fear. Some of you are afraid to see this thing. Lord, I rebuke fear. I speak boldness. I speak courage. I speak the anointing of God over you. Lord Jesus, open up our eyes completely where we can see what we need to see. Remove our blind spots. Oh, that's a word from God. Remove our blind spots. Those things we don't want to see, Lord, but you want us to see, Lord. I rebuke every blind spot in our life. Lord Jesus, open our eyes. Let us see what you want us to see. From this day forward, Father, we will not be blind. We will not cause Jesus to weep over us. We will see the reason of his coming. We'll see the reason of his death. We'll see the reason of his resurrection. We'll see the reason we're here. We'll see the reason of your purpose, the reason of your call. I don't think we ever turned this.